Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. I'd like to make you aware of an opportunity. Many of you in the community know TV or Donald Wilson, his wife Dawn, and TV is having some pretty serious health issues and is facing surgery. So if you'd like to donate some money to the family, I have an envelope here this morning, and we're going to send some money to them to help. And there'll probably be a community event here shortly, and we'll also make you aware of that. But many of you know them here in the community and stuff, so if you'd like to give some money, do so. I've got an envelope with me. Some of you heard some of this lesson a few weeks ago when we had our fifth Sunday service. I shared a message that afternoon. Jeffer, we're sort of planning sort of the next few weeks of sermons. He made me promise I would do that lesson again. And I guess it is sort of a parable. He calls it a parable, so I guess it is sort of a parable. But it's about a personal experience. So there's a lot of setup to this, okay? So you have to sort of understand what sort of some background in what happened. I have an old Dodge truck. It's maybe not as old as it seems, but I've had it for a while. Tammy doesn't like to ride in my truck. It's half truck, half storeroom. So Calvin can attest to it. He moved it the other day. Calvin, there was barely room for Calvin to sit in the truck to move, because he used it the other day and then when we were getting ready for the picnic. And so, it's a work truck. Thank you, Calvin. It's a work truck. Yeah. So I use it for everything. Okay. It's beat up. It's got rust on it. The bed's beginning to rust out on the sides. But back a few weeks ago when we had all the storms that came through, limbs just kept getting in our yard. So I was using the truck to clean up the yard. We have a big magnolia tree in the yard, and it had gotten, every time I walked under it, it knocked my hat off. And so while I was cleaning the limbs up, I took the chainsaw and cut off a limb of the magnolia tree. And I was just chunking that into the back of the truck. And I heard this chink, and it... I broke the back window of the back of the truck with one of those limbs. And that glass it just begins to shatter into little tiny little pieces, and it just kept falling, you know. And then it just kept on, you know. And I first thought, well, I don't need to move the truck. I thought, well, it can't get any worse and stuff like that. So I went rest the weekend working the truck. And everywhere I went, I left shards of glass. It was just kept falling out inside the bed, outside, inside the truck. It was a mess. And so Saturday night, I thought, well, I've got to get that replaced. And so, you know, I got on the computer, you know, and I thought, SafeLock repair, SafeLock replace. So I called SafeLock. I texted SafeLock. I thought, well, they'll come to me, you know. And so I made an appointment, and they couldn't get to it to Tuesday. So they made an appointment. They were going to come to the house and replace the back window of the truck. And I got to thinking, it's really pretty bad because there's glass everywhere. And so I got the shop vac out. And so I was vacuuming up shards of glass inside the truck, outside the truck. And the vacuum cleaner made this hard shrill and just died. So I killed the shop vac. But by that time I got most of it out. And so I parked it, you know, in the shade, because I didn't want the guy to have to work in the hot sun. So I parked in the shade, and he texts me, said he was going to head to my house. That's why I can't be there. And he says, well, you know, you don't have to be there. And he says, I can't get all the glasses up. And I said, I understand. He said that glass is going to be everywhere. And I said, I understand. I've been cleaning it up some. So he cleans, he puts the glass in, and he texts me, I'm finished. I says, well, I still can't get there. He says, don't worry. You can pay me on the phone. I gave him my credit card information. And he said, the only thing I request, he says, before you wash it in the next few days, you need to let it set for at least 2 days. And I thought, wash it? And I realized the guy was suggesting I wash my truck. And it's a white truck, for the most part. But, you know, it had been sitting so long, it had green algae growing in places on it, you know, those kind of things. Pine needles everywhere. So I thought, well, okay, I'll wash my truck. So I was proud. I cleaned the back seat up a little bit, and it did look a little bit better. So I thought, well, I'll just take it Wednesday morning and get my truck washed. And so I went to a car wash in Cookeville. You know, it was on automatic things, and it was really a nice car wash. I'm not slandering them at all, so I'm not going to mention where it was. But, you know, it was one of those automatic things, and, you know, it had all the bells and whistles, had the flashing lights, and you had all these options and stuff like that. And so I chose the $3 economy wash, okay, because I had $3 in quarters and stuff. So I chose the economy wash. But you could get Simonize, you get wheel treatment, you know, all this stuff automated, stuff like that. So I go in through there, and I think, okay, I'm rocking through here and get my truck washed, and, you know. So I go through it, and it does its thing, you know. It has bells and lights flashing, and, you know, the foam was colored, you know, and sort of psychedelic experience almost. I've never done drugs, but it's sort of imaginable. So I come out, and I thought, well, I've still got some quarters left. I'll vacuum it. I mean, it'll get really clean. So I pull up the vacuum cleaner, and this man says, sir, 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 sir. And I thought, okay, he's going to tell me the vacuum cleaner is torn up. Don't bother putting quarters in it. And he doesn't. He said, sir, he says, please don't bring your truck back here. It's too dirty for our car wash. He said, you don't understand. He says, I have to go back and clean that bay after you've washed your truck. He said, you got stuff in the back of your truck. He said, it's too dirty for a car wash. And I thought, why? Never. I mean, the assumption is you take a dirty vehicle and you get it clean. I mean, it's the whole thing. And to be quite honest, it didn't do that good a job. There's still spots of green on the side of the truck and stuff. So I had a few quarters left. I went to one of those wand car washes and cleaned it myself, okay? And I thought, that sort of bothers me, you know, to be kicked out of a car wash. It's probably never happened to anybody else. Does anyone else have that experience? Nobody. Nobody but me. Oh, goodness. But I begin to think, maybe God gave this to me as a lesson. You know, I'm always praying about God give me discernment, God give me guidance. But maybe God was telling me something. And maybe there is a parable in this. I wonder sometimes, do churches sometimes communicate the same message? Do we sometimes imply to people that their lives are just too messed up? Or they're too far gone? Or too dirty? Do we sometimes communicate the same message? And so I guess there's sort of three questions I want to sort of pose for us. Is do we really do what we say we do? I mean, a car wash that says that you can come here as long as you're not too dirty doesn't sound like a very good car wash to me. Okay, but for churches that say, okay, you can come be a part of us as long as you look just like us, act just like us, or have the same background. I mean, are we really doing what we say we're doing? In fact, Paul describes a community 2,000 years ago that sounds a whole lot like the world we live in today. Listen to this. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It was like that. Wow, that sounds like the world we live in. He's talking about 2,000 years ago to the community of Corinth, and he says, you know what kind of people you live around. And he said, well, you're right, brother. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then he makes this twist on it, okay? Which leads to the second question. Can a car be too dirty to wash? What about a person? Which Paul continues in that same passage, and such were some of you. Did you read that list? And he says, okay, folks, you remember? That was you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see, you say, what? I mean, church is about helping people showcase the sanctification, justification of Jesus. I mean, if everybody's got their act together, where's the glory to God in that? But if some of us come to Christ pretty broken, and then we begin to see the transformative nature of relationship in Jesus Christ and fellowship with fellow saints, man, God gets a lot of glory in that. And so church is really about showing the world how brokenness is fixed to the work of Jesus. Not by our own efforts, but by the work of Jesus. So God calls us together to become a family, but also recognizing that not all of us will have the same experience. Some of us may have the blessing and the privilege to grow up in a Christian home, and all we ever knew is church. And some of us may not have that experience. Some of us may have always experienced a loving, supportive family, and some people didn't know anything but neglect, abuse, and abandonment. Some of us may have made a decision to become a Christian very early in life, and we've lived a life informed of that decision, and we didn't get too far off the path. But some people didn't make that decision early, and they got well off the path. You see, church is about all of us coming together with a common experience. And that common experience is a relationship with Jesus Christ that we obtain through obedience to Him and being baptized into His body. You see, one of the things I discovered about that car wash, the automatic, super-duper flashing light, one that had all the bells and whistles, it really didn't do that good a job getting my truck clean. When I went down the road and paid the 75 cents for the one deal, I got a clean truck. You know, and I think that sometimes in churches, people get gimmicky. I mean, you can put a lot of bells and whistles, and you can try to chase things down and make it really, really consumer-friendly, or you can make it just, I don't know what. But if you're not really careful, that you wind up chasing the wrong things. Paul really describes there are two things that you need to do to integrate everybody into the body of Christ. There are really two things that you've got to focus on if you really want to do a good job in that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 through 15 says, "But above all these things," he lists several things that need to be happening in the body of Christ. He says, "But above all these things, put on love." Now, this is that agape love. This is that love that you decide to have for somebody else, not because you feel it, but because you're called to do it, which is the bond of perfection. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and to which you were called into one body, and be thankful." So the idea that somehow love, thankfulness, these two things are almost like bookends. We need to be thankful for every person that God brings to us. And we need to celebrate that, because that means that God's working in their life. You know, some of us are like my old truck. We nevertheless, God has called us to be one. Loving one another and thankfulness for each other binds us together. Just being thankful that for somehow, some way, God brought us together. And some of our stories are pretty simple. I mean, the reason you're a member of the Netherlands Church of Christ is because you grew up here. Your family's been here for generations and generations. But then other of us said, you know, I didn't grow up here. I came to be a part of this, and this is now my family. I mean, and we see how some of us, you know, our narratives, we never even expected these things to come together. I mean, and God shows us some big things in big ways. I mean, as we see our church growing, and sometimes as we see the growing pains of that, God is really doing some amazing things here. And so we have the understanding that love and thankfulness are things that will bind us together as we go through this process of living out the kingdom life together. We studied this on Wednesday night, and I sort of explained Wednesday night that was sort of a foundation for today's lesson. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is confronted by a lawyer who says, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you know, here's what you need to do. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and then your neighbor as yourself. That's what you need to do. It's a very positive command. You love God with all you got. And by the way, while you're doing that, you love your neighbor. And then the man says, well, you know, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells him a story about the Samaritan who finds a man who is beaten on the side of the road, had already been bypassed by the priest, and the Levite walked by the man, actually went across the other side of the street so they wouldn't have him come in contact with him. But the Samaritan had mercy and compassion on him, and he bound his wound, and he took him on his own beast, and he walked into the next city and put him up in an inn and took care of him and gave money for his provision. And he asked the question, which one was the neighbor to his fellow man? And he says, the Samaritan. And Jesus says, will you go out and do likewise? The idea that we are called aspirationally to sort of be that person, to put ourselves out sometimes to meet the needs of others who are less fortunate, or because of maybe no fault of their own, find themselves in dire circumstances. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And again in Romans he said, love does no harm to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Again, we see this theme over and over again about love. To love one another. And that's accepting you from where you're at right now, but hoping and praying with God that as we all grow into the image of Christ, things change in each of our lives. Sometimes loving your neighbor doesn't look very churchy. It doesn't. I think that sometimes we think about reaching folks, it's about inviting them to church and trying to get them to come to church. There's just a world of folks out there who are hurting. They know they need something, but they just don't know for certain how to do that. By the way, I need to thank everybody for all the hard work for the picnic. Some of you worked really, really hard to pull this off, and we had another very successful picnic. And during the picnic, at some point in time, a gentleman came in the building here, and we had a sign-up sheet. Jen has it if you need to add your name to it. But if you want to be in the prayer chain, our prayer response thing, if you put your name and contact information, every time we have prayer requests, will come to you. But this gentleman was in the building at some point, I guess, during the picnic. He probably didn't understand. He saw prayer, maybe. And he wrote in his own hand, please pray for my health and to get to know Jesus Christ, to heal my liver and take fluid out of my body. I am a sinner. My heart is with God. Please pray for my needs. And he signed it, David Lynn Milbury. This man came to a church picnic, a community picnic, and laid his hope before us. And so sometimes the things we do to sort of invite the world may not always seem really churchy. It may be just taking somebody that you know that's struggling out to lunch. It may be doing something completely social with them. It may be taking a struggling neighbor a pot of soup or a chocolate pie. But we need to be what we're called to be, light and salt. We've got to aspire to do that. When we put the name Netherland Church of Christ out on our building, we are Jesus' representatives of the kingdom in this community. And we got to take people with broken lives, regardless of how broken, and be with them and sit with them and help them in any way that we can, because that's what we're called to be. We can't be a car wash who says your vehicle's too dirty. We can't be a church that says you're just too far gone for us to be able to help you. In fact, we really have a pretty big invitation to feel. Jesus said in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When our Savior made that invitation, that became our invitation. You understand that? When Jesus, who's the King of our kingdom, makes that invitation to all the world, that becomes our invitation. If we're members of His kingdom, right? The Hebrew writer says, entertain strangers, because you never know when angels may show up. Jesus says, when you find someone who is in the ditch, help them. When people are brought into your fellowship by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, show up, be present, encourage, support, love, bear, whatever you need to keep them in the family of God. So the challenge we have is, here's the whole thing. I paid $3 for water that I have at home. Right? Isn't that what we're doing when we go to car wash? The thing I needed was already at home. We just needed a little elbow grease and stuff. Here's the thing. The car wash was not the thing that was going to get my truck clean. It was the water. And here's the same thing. Now, don't be offended. The church ain't going to get people clean. It's the Lord. You know, the car wash had a special way of delivering it. And the same thing is for a church who really understands what they're called to be. They're just going to have a good way of delivering what's going to make people clean. Taking down any barriers that get between people and the Lord. You know, we are just here to help people get access to the water. That's baptism of Jesus. Mercy, thankfulness, bearing with each other, loving each other are our ways of delivering that. These are all traits and attributes of a godly kingdom who just have simply make it easy for people to access it. And sometimes it does mean stepping outside our comfort zone. Now, some people are really dispositionally able to do that. Some people, it may be a struggle for you. But the ideal is that somehow we've got to communicate to the community, to the world, and we have events in which people are brought to us for various reasons. But we have to communicate that to people, that this is just a place where, you know, we're on the process of doing the same thing, and that's just getting to be more and more like Jesus. And none of us are there yet, but we're willing to do it together. So we are blessed to witness the mighty transforming work of Jesus' justification, sanctification, and glorification in the lives of others. Talk about this a little bit this morning in the Bible study class. How Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that that even though God made Abraham promises that were in the future, God promises as if it's already happened. And Abraham believed that, and he lived that. And so we in the body of Christ have a great opportunity to really witness some amazing transformations in the lives of people, to see that happen. And we know, but by God's power and His grace and His mercy and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that that can happen. And we are blessed to witness that. So I guess the invitation I want to end this with this morning for anyone here that just say, listen, you know, I just been on the fence. I just need to get off the fence. Make a public declaration of my commitment to follow Jesus, be buried with Him in baptism, or maybe I'm one of those who's struggling, and you know, and I'm really not being honest about how big my struggle is. I just feel like I need to be honest about that so I can make some progress in overcoming what's holding me back. The invitation we give this morning is the invitation our Lord gave, which is now our invitation. Come unto us, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and we will give you rest. Take our yoke upon you. Learn from us, for we are meek and lowly and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Chris is going to stand and sing a song of invitation. If we can assist you anyway, won't you come?